Okay, we'll try to complete the sugya today, mitzvah Shem. And this year we won't be being mashal merich, and it looks like we'll be in it for another year. So the original plan was to finish, but it's a harder mesechta. We'll go through the sugya again quickly. The Mishnah brings down the Nafkamina. Read it through quickly again. Hesig Yad Benoider V'Hashonim Benidor. When we deal with Hesig Yad, when we deal with the affordability of the person paying the Erechin, we go by the person who made the Neder. And the Hesig, and the Shonim, the age of the Erech, goes by the, obviously the one who the Erech is being made on. V'Erech Bizman Erech. The Erech obviously goes by the time of the Erech. Doesn't go by how old the person is at the time that you pay the money, but rather it goes by the Zman of how old the person was at the time that you made the Erechin. Okay? So now it says as follows. Hesigat b'nei d'keitzad, oni sherech es ha'osher, nois an Erech oni. The halach is, if a oni was merech to osher, nois an erech oni. If a osher sheherech es oni, nois an erech osher. We don't go by the value of the person you made the erechin on. Avul b'karbonos ein erkein. But by karbonos, it doesn't work that way. Harei she'omar karbon shel metzora ze olai, and we know the karbonos of a metzora is a karbon oil of a yared. So if he's poor, he brings a cheaper karbon. So if the mitzvah was an oni, maybe carbon oni. And if the mitzvah was an osher, maybe carbon osher. Rabbi Oimer, Rabbi says, Oimer ani, af be'erichin kein. I will give you an example where erichin will have the same halacha. V'chim ibnei ma oni she'erich es ha'osher, noisein erich oni, she'en osher chayev klum, because the osher has nothing to do with that obligation. Aval osher she'omar erki alai, but an osher that says my erech is on me v'shama oni v'ama mashama ze alai, noisein erech osher. Then he does give the erech of the osher. So that's the Mishnah. As we explained last week, there are two ways to learn the Mishnah. One is that there is actually a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, that according to Rebbe, the only time by Erech we do not go by the financial level of the person you made Erech on is with that individual never was machayev himself to anything. That's one approach. But if they already were machayev themselves and you're just taking on their obligation, then you would be chayiv to pay their erech, their obligation. Which basically would mean that Rebbe did nothing more than he came to simplify the Mishnah. He came to simplify the Mishnah, and he wanted to explain what is the Mishnah really saying. The Mishnah really is saying is that if you went ahead and created an obligation, then we go by you. If you took on an obligation, we go by the one who, however the obligation was established. That would mean that Rebbe is just coming, nothing more than simplifying it. Clearly, that would be the easiest way to learn the Mishnah. And then it would be, first of all, we'd be saying one chiddush is that Rebbe's not arguing. When normally the terminology, oimer ani, that terminology normally means I'm arguing. That's number one. Number two, if that's the way we're going to learn Rebbe, that would mean that what Rebbe really is telling us is that in his case, it's not really a case of Erech. His example is not even an example of Erech at all. His example is an example where somebody was machayev themselves in Erech, and you went and said, I'm taking on that obligation. So really, you're not a Meirich. You're not even a Meirich. What you are is really a Noider, right? You're not a Meirich at all. And that's precisely what Rebbe was coming to. If you learn this way, if we learn this simple approach, all Rebbe was trying to say was, I will give you an example of Erechin, which isn't Erechin. Because once somebody already accepted upon themselves an Erechin, now that's an entity on its own. Now they owe a certain amount of money to Hektish. And now if you take over that obligation, you're not really working with the parasha of Erechin anymore. You're working with some kind of control that because it doesn't seem to be operating really. It doesn't seem to be giving me any feedback. But so you're not really mechayiv yourself anything as far as a new obligation. You're just taking over a pre-existing obligation. It has nothing to do with Erechin. So it seems to be a plea. Because if that's the way to learn the Mishnah, although again, it's the simple way to learn, and that's the Rambam that we read last week in the Pirush Mishnayos. The Rambam clearly seems to take that approach. If you look at the second Rambam on your Pirush Mishnayos sheet here, he says, Ein bein Rebbe v'chachomim machloikis elo mivar lonu heich ye ya'erech doim elokorb. He's just giving us an example where the erech will be like a korb. K'moish ha'omar v'Rebbe Yehuda Shoimer Shemi Sheherich Vahoyoni Vahakaheshir Vahakaheni Shehu Noisim. That's already the second case. So, the way the Rambam is learning, there really is no machlekes between the Chachamim and Rebbe. And Rebbe is just trying to give us an example where you would have Erechin like a carbon, where there's a previously pre-existing obligation that you took over. So last week I made this sound very simple. The Rambam seems to be poshut. No machloikis. Rebbe just came to clarify to us what is going on in the Mishnah. And Rebbe is telling us that you should know that all the Mishnah is really saying is that if you create an obligation, we go by you. And if you take over a pre-existing obligation, we go by the person that made the obligation. The problem with learning the Rambam that way, that simple, that is, by the way the Radvaz, if you take a look in the Rambam, Paragimel Alochavav, that is, the Rambam brings down our Mishnah, and he paskins like Rebbe, does not paskin like the Chachamim. He says, Aval oni sheerich es ha'oshir, v'omar erich ze olai, in echayiv el haberich oni. But that's the example we paskins like the Chachamim. But oshir shomar erki olai, erich plenty olai, v'shomo oni. V'omar ma shomar ze olai, harei ha'oni chayiv be'erich oshir, shehu erich sholem. Right? So if you look in the Radvat, the Ravid argues with the Rambam, because the Ravid says, what do you mean? That's the machloikis. Omar Avrom Zeo Kirebi Vachachomim Cholkim Olof Vo'oimim Sheinin Noisei Elo Erech Oni. They say all you give is an Erech of an Oni. Okay, so the Radvaz, if you look at this Radvaz on the left, on the bottom, V'Rabbeinu Soiver, the last like 6-7 lines of that Radvaz, he's trying to explain the Rambam. V'Rabbeinu Soiver The loy pligi rabbonon alei the Rebbe. The rabbonon don't argue with Rebbe. V'zel l'shoyne b'pirush ha-mishna. Ein bein Rebbe v'chachamim machloikis. There's no machloikis between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Right? Elo shabir lonu, Rebbe came to tell us, to clarify to us, eich yehei o erech doim el korban, k'moy she'omar. V'su v'svorehu. It's really not doing anything. I don't know why. Is there a reason why it's not? You don't? Do you hear it? Do you hear the feedback? The problem is when I don't get it, I still. It's really for me just to go quieter. Anyway, so he says, "Rabbeinu Sever, That's good. So he says, Visu disvarahi. Kivon shomar mazel alai havi neder v'loyerach. Ufikoch eni nidim behesegat. So what Radvaz is saying here is that the Rambam had no choice but to learn the way he learned. Because once the usher went and he said, Erki alai, that became an obligation. And now when you say, I'm going to give his, what he said I'm going to give, that's a neder. Has nothing to do with Erechim. So the Rambam had no choice but to say that there's no machlekes. Because it didn't make any sense to the Rambam to learn that there could be a machlekes. The problem with, so again, that sounds very simple. And if anything, we were talking last week, it's hard to understand any other way to learn, which the way the Ravid is learning, it's very hard to understand, because why in the world would it be that way? Why in the world would the usher, right, who obligated himself to, let's say it was 50 sloyim, how could that 50 sloyim change now? By the fact that this guy said, I'm being makabel to pay his debt. How does his debt go down? There's a debt, there's a pre-existing debt to Hekdesh. That if that guy died, Hekdesh could go to his property. He's not even in the parish anymore. He could die and we're still going to go to his property. So it's very strange what's going on. Why? How's there any other way to learn? The problem is that really the way Tosfos learns is really muchach. Because otherwise, Rebbe's coming in mamish out of nowhere. Rebbe's coming in, he says, even let's read the Rambam. The Rambam says that Rebbe came, all Rebbe was trying to do was to find an example where you have Erechin that would have the same thing. But it's not Erechin. Look at Rebbe's Lashon in the Mishnah. Rebbe says, Oimer ani, af ba'arechin came. If you learn like the Radvaz, so really, Rebbe has nothing to do with the beginning of the Mishnah. Zero. Rebbe gave us an example that has nothing to do with Erechin, has nothing to do with any, it's just Tamadin. If there's a pre-existing obligation and you take it over, you pay whatever that pre-existing obligation is. Push it. That has nothing to do with our Mishnah, and it's not Erechin. It is not even an example of Erechin. It's an example of Nedarim. And that's what the Radvaz is saying. The Radvaz is saying the reason why the Rambam learns that there is no machloikis between Rebbe and the Chachamim in that case is because what he says the case of Ze Havi Neder Veloy Erech. He says that's Neder and that's not Erech. Makes sense. It doesn't make sense. Existing obligation, you're saying now I'll take over that obligation. That's a neder. So it doesn't flow b'chlal. So then the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayis doesn't make sense. The Rambam and Pirush Mishnayis lashon is that Rebbe came. Ein bein Rebbe chachamim elo shabir lanu eich yeheyo erech toim el korban. He wants to give us an example where erechin is doim to a korban. And that's what he says in the Pirush Mishnayis. He says that Rebbe came to tell us, Elo mivayir lonu heich yeye erech gam kein doim elakar. The Rambam is saying that Rebbe came to give us an example where you have erechin that's similar to a korban. Now that's not true. This is not an erech that's doim to a korban. This is a regular neder. So, although it seems simple, it's not simple at all. And that's why the Balei HaTosfos and Rashi and many others hold that there's absolutely a machlokes between Rebbe and a Chacham. And Rebbe is talking about Erechin. It is Erechin. So we have to understand, why is it Erechin? It doesn't make sense that it's Erechin. But that's clearly I think it's you just take the Lashon HaRambam, it's Erechin. This is an example of Erech. So, the problem goes in both directions.
not because Erech and Karbonis, it's because by Erech you don't have a pre-existing obligation. That's all he's pointing out.
So his case is not a case of Erech.
So
you're saying that the lashon Omer Ani she'af be'erchin kein is lav dafka. Omer Ani af be'erchin kein would be. That's the way we explained it last week. That's why everybody was okay with that pshat, because I said what Rebbe is really coming to say is that if erchin wouldn't be erchin, then erchin would be like a korban. But erchin in fact is different. And this is not a case of Erech. So I'm not saying it's impossible to learn Omer. I'm just saying it's not smooth. Just like Tosfos is not smooth, it's not like the Rambam is, to learn the Rambam that way is very smooth. It's not very smooth. That's all. It's possible. That's how we explained it. The way I explained it last week is that the Rambam would say that when Rebbe comes into the Mishnah, what he's really trying to tell us is, you should know, Erechin is not the point. That's really when he says Omer Ani after Erechin came. What he's really saying is Omer Ani, that if Erechin would be like Korbanos, it would be that way too. And here I'll throw you an example where Erechin is like Korbanos. Okay. But really, I want you to understand. This is critical to understand, is that the case of Rebbe is not even like Korbanos either. He went to a total extreme, because we will see in the Gemara that even by korbanos, when you're makabel yourself a korban of an oni, of a metzora oni, okay, there is more flexibility in that than there is in erechin. Even in Rebbe's example of erechin, because a korban is not inherently a monetary obligation. The monetary obligation is there only in as much to see to it that the carbon should be brought. When you make yourself a chiyuv to bedek abayis, that's a monetary obligation. When you say harelai oilo, harelai chatas, you can't say harelai chatas, only say chayev chatas. So, really what's happening is you have a chiyuv carbon. And the chiyuv carbon lends with it a monetary obligation to see to it that the carbon is brought. So in the case of carbon, it is more, it's potentially possible that we could say that if you're bringing the carbon for Shimon, and you're an Ani, so if you bring a carbon Ani, that's enough. And we actually need Pesukim to tell us otherwise. But there's some seichel to it. Why? Because the guy, the Mitzrayer who's high of the carbon, is also, somebody would ask you, does the Mitzrayer have a monetary obligation to Hekdesh? And the answer would be, not really. The Metzor has a chiyuv korban. He has a chiyuv to fulfill his korban. He has a mitzvah to bring a korban because he's a Metzor. Right? If he could get the korban for free, that would also be okay. He has a chiyuv, als Gavri has a chiyuv to bring a korban. So now, if somebody else is bringing the korban for him, okay. So it's potentially possible that if he would have brought his korban, it would have cost him $100. And if this guy brings the korban, it's going to cost $50. That's still logical. That's still in the realm of being logical. Because even though the end of the day, the korban cost less than it would have costed, right? If the original guy, if the Metzora Osher brought it, but that shouldn't disturb us so much. Because inherently, it's not a monetary obligation. Inherently, it's a korban obligation. And the money is only there in as much that the carbon has to be brought. Right? So then there could be some logic to say that if I'm an Oni, and I'm therefore bringing the carbon for that guy who's an Osher, and the end of the day a carbon oiler was brought, based on my financial level, this is a good carbon. Right? Now the original guy, we don't turn back to him and say, well, one second, if the original guy would have brought the carbon, it would have been $100 carbon. Now it's only a $50 carbon. The flip side to that is to say, we don't care how much the carbon is worth. Because it's not inherently a monetary obligation, it's a chiyuv oiler. And the bottom line is that an oiler was brought. Okay? So what I'm trying to say is, over there is flexibility to look at it in two ways. You could say, even though it's a pre-existing obligation, but it's not a pre-existing monetary obligation. It's a pre-existing carbon obligation. And the money is just there, the obligation on the money is just to facilitate that the carbon oil should be brought. Okay? Very different is the chiyuv erechin. Erechin is a monetary obligation. If I obligate myself to an erech while I'm a rich man and I'm chayiv to give 50 sloim to Hekdesh, now Hekdesh has a lien on me for 50 sloim. Okay? There's no logic in the world to say that that could be manipulated. Now somebody else comes here and says, you know what? Forget about him. Come to me. I'll pay the 50 sloim. Why in the world? Now you can't afford it? What is that? How would that? It doesn't even, it's not even a good example of Rebbe to say, I got a case of Erich and that's doim to a kum. It's not doim to a kum. It's completely out of the box. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's completely, if you learn like the Radvaz, right? Which is, the Radvaz is saying this is a case of Nador. Why is it a case of Nador? Because Reuven the Osher came and he made Erichin. Based on his Erichin, he had to give 50 sloim. Right? Now, Shimon the Oni comes and he says, whatever this guy said, I'm taking over. Okay? So what's Shimon doing? He's taking a 50 sloim debt that Hekdesh has. Hekdesh has a note, like a mortgage, 50 sloim, and he's saying, don't bother him, I'll take care of it. The Radvaz says, okay, that's a nether. That's no different than a guy gets up and he says, I'm going to give 50 sloim to Hekdesh, right? That's what the Radvaz is saying. The Radvaz is saying, it's not even Erichin. It is not Erichin. The Radvaz is saying, it's Nadarim. So my response to David, because David is saying that all Rebbe is trying to say, is here I got a case of Erichin that's similar to a carbon. It's really not. It's completely out of the box. By a korban, we have a Mishnah that's telling us a debate. If an usher comes and he's makabel himself a choyv of an oni, or the other way around, we could potentially say that we would go also by the person who's bringing the korban, for the simple reason that our focus is the korban, not the money. When a metzora comes in and he brings the korban, we don't turn to him and say, okay, monetary obligation taken care of. We don't say that. We say the oil has been taken care of. And if the oil has been taken care of, we have no more business with you. Our business with you is not a monetary business. Right? We can go to your money, but that's almost indirect. We'll go to your money to facilitate. Just like we will force you, we koifen ala mitzvahs, right? We can force you to shake a lulav. That means the first day of Yom Tov, technically, we could go to a guy, force him to buy a lulav. Koifen ala mitzvahs, right? We can force a guy to eat matzah. Bezdin can force a guy to eat matzah. The matzah costs $15 a pound, right? We can go over and force him, go to his money, and Bezdin can facilitate that he should eat matzah. It's inclusive in that they could go to his money, technically, right? But there, they're going to his money not because it's a monetary obligation, it's a chiv achilus matzah obligation. And if he somehow got a matzah that wasn't $15 a pound, it was $2 a pound, so let it be. His yoytz is mitzvah. So we can debate, if you are an usher, you mitzvah are an usher, and now you got an oni that brought a carbon for you, an oila, which for him fit the criteria of an oila, and we got hektishes in receipt of a carbon oila, there would be room to debate. And we have psukim. There would be room to debate that, okay, you're off the hook. You're a lucky guy. This is not a chiddush. L'moshel, the halacha is if somebody redeems his own ma'aser sheni, his own hektish, he has to be moisef a chaymish. We're going to talk about this in Maseches Meila. He has to add a chaymish when he redeems his own hektish. When you redeem somebody else's hektish, you don't have to add a chaymish. Okay. So what happens is you're off the hook then. If you get a friend of yours to do it for you, you can do that. Not saying it's the glatz the thing to do, but you could do that technically. Say, listen, Chaim Yankel, you're a buddy of mine, I'll take care of you later. You redeem my hekdesh, by you redeeming it, you redeem my ma'aser sheni. We're off the hook with the chaymish. The chaymish is off the hook. That's okay. You know why? Because the chaymish is not a monetary obligation. The chaymish is a din. When the bailam apoyed, that's what they got to add. So here you could say this usher, he got off the hook because he managed to get an oni to redeem to bring his carbon oil. There would be room for debate to say you yoytz to the carbon. The Mishnah says, no, it doesn't work. But there would be room for debate. In our example, there is no room for debate. Because you took on an obligation of 50 shloim, a regular neder. Why in the world would that change? We don't need a Mishnah to tell us that in monetary halachas either. What would be the halacha in Bava Metzia? What would be halacha in Bava Metzia if Reuven is chayav of $100 to Shimon, and Levi comes and says, I'll take care of it. That's an orav l'achar matan mois. It's a common case, right? An orav could come after you gave the money already. There's an orav b'shas matan mois. There's an orav l'achar matan mois. I could come later and say, you know what? He owes you $100. Forget about it. I'll take care of it. Do we need Rebbe, the Chachamim, a Mishnah? Do we need anybody to tell us in that case that you got to give the full amount? Of course you got to give the full amount. You took over an existing obligation. Zev, all I'm saying is the way the Radvaz is learning that this is not Erechin. This is not an Erechin obligation. This is a nether obligation. I am saying then the Rambam is, the Rebbe is not really saying anything. He's really saying, and he's not even making a good analogy. That's what I'm saying, David. What we said last week is not so posh. Because last week he said, okay, you know what? Rebbe is just trying to give us an example where Erechin would be similar to Karbonis. It's not even true. He's giving us an example where Erechin wouldn't even be an issue. It's not Erechin, and it's not Karbonis. It's neither. Rebbe is giving us an example where it has nothing to do with the Mishnah at all. The Mishnah is debating where you have obligations that fluctuate. Asher, Ani, who do we go by? Do we go by the person who's bringing it? Do we go by the person who made the obligation? And then Rebbe comes in and he gives us an example where that example wouldn't even be an issue by Karbonis. Karbonis is an issue because it's possible to say that we would go by the person who's bringing it. Because it's not inherently a monetary obligation. So Rebbe comes now from left field, and he says, I'll throw you a case where it's not like Erechin, and it's not even like Karbonis. It's a person that's just making a neder to bring the other guy's obligation. It's olive base. It's olive base. I agree it on the I'm just saying, if you learn that, if we simplify it to the level of the Radvaz, it's not simple. That's all I'm saying. If we simplify it, when we're making it so simple, it's not simple. Because if we're making it that simple, he's not, even if we're going to learn that Rebbe is just trying to throw us an example. He doesn't mean Erechin is Lav Dafka. He just means, here, I'll show you something where you got something that looks, smells like Erechin and it isn't. It's like Karbonis. It's not true. Because what Rebbe really is doing is, he's throwing us something that we can't even debate. He's throwing us a non-debatable issue. Reuven accepted upon himself 50 shloim. Shimon comes and says, I'll pay the 50 shloim. Shimon pays 50 shloim. Shkech. He's not even saying anything. There's zero chiddush. There's zero element of chiddush in that statement. Zero. So then we go back. Then we go back to Erechin. Now if it's Erechin, then we have to start understanding again, why does the then we're back to the problem. So Tosfos comes, and Tosfos Taka learns like the Ravid, because the Ravid doesn't really give us any clarity as to what's going on, but Tosfos brings down, the Ravid just says, this is a machloikis between Rebbe and the Chachamim, right? The Ravid maybe would agree. He doesn't even tell us. He doesn't tell us what he holds as Rebbe's shita. He just says, the Chachamim argue. He says, in the case of the Rambam, the Ravid says that in the case of the Rambam, the Chachamim would argue. That means, in the case of Rebbe, where if Reuven went and he said, Erki Olai, and he's a rich man, and Shimon came and said, Shimon the Oni came, and he said, what Reuven was Makabal, I'm taking over, that he would only have to pay an Erech Oni, according to the Chachamim. The Ravid doesn't give us any clarity why that is, and he doesn't give us any clarity in what Rebbe's opinion is. What's the machloikas? He just says, this din of the Rambam is a machloikas. That's all the Rebbe tells us. Tosfos here says, Zelai, Noisein Erech Oni. My carbon mitzvah zeolai a whole poly rabbi v'amar oshir shomar erki alai v'shoma oni v'amar burns like the ravid, and he holds that in this case the chachamim would say you give an erich oni, not the erich osher, even though it's a pre-existing obligation. Okay? So, clearly, according to this shita, I don't think we can say, logically, that that's the machloikis. The machloikis is whether it's a neder or it's an erech. So we really have a lot of open-ended areas here. We don't, the simple way of learning the Rambam doesn't really flow. The most simple way to learn. That doesn't flow. The Tosfos is very difficult because what the Radvaz is saying seems to be logical, that once you accept upon yourself the obligation, you should have to pay whatever his obligation was. That seems to be logical. And finally, what is the Machlokes Rabbi Nachachamim? If you learn like Tosfos, what is the Machlokes between Rabbi Nachachamim? What is the Chachamim? What is Rabbi? And the fact is that the Gemara brings Psukim. This whole Gemara that I asked you to go through brings psukim for every level. Each thing is this psukim for. It's not just logic. It's psukim. And the Gemara even goes on the base with Rebbe, with psukim. So Tosfos Yom Tov says that according to the Rambam, you maybe take out that whole Gemara, because there's no machloikas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. So how could the Gemara say, what does Rebbe do with the Chachamim's pasuk? What does Chachamim do with Rebbe? That's a non-issue, because according to the Rambam, there's no machloikas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. So Tosfos Yom Tov says the Rambam doesn't even have that gears. Okay. But again, I'm dealing here, forget the drushes. The drushes you guys can work out. Just to understand the svaras here, what's going on, is very difficult. So we broke down last week a general shaila. The general shaila we had was, when you take over somebody else's carbon, what are you really doing? Are you only taking over the monetary piece, or are you in fact becoming part of that obligation that he has? You're shouldering his obligation. When I say you're shouldering his obligation, I mean not just monetary, but you're actually shouldering the chiyuv of bringing the carbon. The Torah was machadish that you could say karbonos, this other guy is karbonos. Halachas that go by him, it's when halachas that go by you. For instance, smicha, spoke about last week. Who brings the carbon does smicha, even though smicha is a din in the bialim. So it comes out the mechaper is not doing smicha, but the one who's bringing it does smicha. And I brought examples. The halachas. Maybe. On the Toysu says in Hoyri Stavov, Ata Shemesu Baleho, the guy who was mafresh the carbon for you dies, that chattis has to. Now you obviously still have to bring a carbon chattis. You're still alive, you chayev a chattis. But this chattis has to be put to death because it's a chattis Shemesu Baleho. So the guy who's bringing the carbon is not just bringing it for you. He's taking on more than that. He's becoming part of the actual obligation. There's a din in Meseches Nozir where a guy could actually mekabel on himself Tzipurei Mitzora. Tzipurei Nozir. Tzipurei Mitzora. Tzipurei Mitzora, not even Karbonos. You have the two birds. It's done b'chutz. It's not even a carbon. The Briskerov there in Nozir says he doesn't understand how it even works. You're sort of becoming, you're taking on the mitzvah obligation. It's not even a carbon obligation. You're becoming part of that. And then Rabbi Nachum Zemba actually gives cases in the Rishonim where it becomes blatantly clear, this idea. A kohen is makabel on himself, somebody else's mincha. The halacha is, even though that mincha is being brought for somebody else, it needs sreifa. Because mincha's kohen, has to be burnt. Milchas koyen kolol tia. So it gets burnt. So from all these cases, you see that when you bring a carbon for somebody else, that carbon connects to you as well. Connects to you as well. So it's almost like you become a shutif in the obligation to bring that carbon, not just in the you're paying for the money. You become a shutif in the chiyuv avo of that carbon, and the money. And it could be, if you analyze it, it could be the reason why it works that way is because the carbon isn't really a monetary obligation. The carbon is, as I explained, the carbon is not like you're being mechayev yourself a certain amount of money to Hekdesh. The carbon is a obligation on the gavra to be mekayim the mitzvah. And the money is only outcome of that. So when you accept upon yourself the obligation to bring a carbon for somebody else, you're really accepting upon yourself that obligation that he has. And in Echanami, if the Torah wouldn't been mechadish, that you could have a person mechayev karbonos, maybe he wouldn't even be able to do it. But that's halach. Legabi tamura. The Gemara had a whole discussion. Who does tamura on your carbon? The one whose carbon it is, or the one who's the mevi of the carbon? Remember we had mafrish or mechaper, because they both are mechutonim in this carbon. So that's clearly why there's a tzad to say that if the metzora is an usher and you're an oni, without a pasuk, we would say maybe you bring a carbon oni. Because you're part of the obligation now. It's not like David was saying, it's a pre-existing. It's not just pre-existing. You now, you, the maybe, are part of that obligation, and therefore we take you into account. And ultimately, that is the halacha. We take both of you into account. It just happens to be that in order to bring a Metzora Oni Korban, it has to be that both people that are involved are Anim. And that's in conclusion the halacha. If either one of these parties are rich, you don't bring a carbon on it. That's the maskana of the Gemara. The maskana of the Gemara is that by karbonis, it's not that we don't take into account the person who obligated himself. We do. We take both of them into account. And the pasuk hol, the Torah is machayev, that in order to bring a carbon on it has to be that all parties involved are anim. That's the halacha. All parties involved. That's why if a husband brings a carbon for his wife, he brings a carbon asher. Even though she's an aniya, the woman has none of her own money. Wouldn't make a difference. Because the Torah takes into account, not because we go by you, because we go by both of you. Okay? Now when you come to Erech, that's korbanos. And that's why by korbanos we need psukim. Because without psukim we would say, maybe we just go by you. If you obligated yourself to bring that carbon for him, and you're an oni, so maybe just bring a carbon oni. The Torah says im dalhu, it's exeris hakosuv, that the metzora also has to be an oni, and you have to be an oni. You both have to be aniim in order for him to bring a carbon oni. And if he's an oni and you're an asher, you still bring a carbon asher, because you both have to be aniim, both of you, because by kabonis it's a dual. There's a dual thing occurring. Now we come to erechin. So what is going on by Erechin? So I wanted to, and that's why I asked the Olam to look up the sugi we had earlier on we had choices early on Dav Zion. Toises asks a question as follows. Toises says, Oymer Rabbeinu, the halacha is that if you became poor after you already were marach yourself, we're going to talk about this more in the next Mishnah, but if your status changed, the Mishnah says we go by the time of you made the obligation. So Toysa says, V'oimer Rabbeinu, d'hachta l'kamon, d'afka, she'erichoy akoyein bo'oidoy oshio. So Toysa says that when do you give the erech of an usher, if your status changed, doesn't go by the time that you made the erechin. It goes by the actual time that you pay. In other words, if between the time that you made the erechin and the kohen came and said, this is what you have to give, you became poor, you won't give the erech asher. Even though the Mishnah seems to say we go by the time of the erechin. Tosfos says all the Mishnah is coming to say is that if from the time, there are three time periods. The time you made the erechin, the time the kohen sets aside what your erech is, and then, even though what your erech is going to be simple, all the kohen is going to do is hear what you made, open up a chumish, and he's going to say, this is what it is. It's not like the kohen has to go pull out some ganshas. Very posh. The kohen then tells you, yuchayev 50 slorim, let us say. So that's stage two. Stage one is when you say, erech yolai. Stage one, that's when you made the neder of the erechin. Stage two is v'herichoy hakohen. The kohen hears you out, and he tells you what box you belong to. You belong to that box. And then there's step three, when you stick your hand in your pocket and you give hekdesh, you fulfill your obligation. The Mishnah is blurry, because the Mishnah just says, by erechin we don't go by the time. The Mishnah just says, if you became poor, you still have to pay the erech osher. Because since your erech was made when you were rich, you still go ahead and pay the erech of an osher. But the Mishnah doesn't tell us, is that talking about stage one or stage two? All the Mishnah's, what's clear in the Mishnah, is that stage three won't help you out. If you were rich prior to stage three, even though now when you're sticking your hand in your pocket, you're an ani, you're not potter anymore with hesed yad. But the Mishnah doesn't say stage one or stage two. Which one is the pivotal one? So Tosfos comes here and Tosfos says, but if you made the nether when you were rich, and no erech was done, Tosfos says, and then the hani noisein erech oni. Tremendous chiddush. Tosfos learns that since the Torah says ve'erichoy hakohen, since the Torah puts in this step two, you, even though it's pashut, all the kohen is really going to do is clarify the halacha to you. But it's almost like negoim. By negoim, you can have a nega, it can have all the criterias of what a nega is. It's still in limbo until the kohen activates it. Now, all the kohen is doing is opening up the chumish and the mishnayos and whatever it is, and he's saying, okay, right size, you got the white hair here, that's it. You're tomei. 5 minutes ago, you were potentially tomei. You had all the criterias necessary to make you tomei, but you're not tomei until the kohen says tomei. So Tosfos learns that everything is like, I don't want to make it sound exact, it's like negoyim. Until the kohen turns the switch, and he says, okay, this is your erech, even though you're b'tamal chach. You learn through erech, and you know exactly what your erech is. Doesn't make a difference. The kohen has to go and say it. Tosfos therefore holds that your neder is in limbo until the kohen, the rabbi blesses it, right? Till the kohen says, okay, that's what you're chayev. At that point, you become chayev, and then it could be manipulated. Then it can't be manipulated any longer. You lose your money, it's too bad. Clearly, this is not universally accepted. So machlokes rishonim how to learn. Many rishonim learn, we only go by step one. The other steps don't make a difference. We could perhaps say that this opens up the door to what's going on here. The only reason why we took on for a davar pashut, that once the erech is made, it's too late for any manipulation, is because we're taking on for a davar pashut like the Radvaz, this existing obligation of 50 sloyim. But the truth is, there's a very simple way to learn. And that is, there are three steps, as we said, but two Two are necessary to activate the erichin, making the nether, and then the kohen being marich you. This guy jumped in the middle. He jumped in here. He said, okay, he said erichi alai. Doesn't say anywhere the kohen was marich. Now I jump in and say, you know what? Shalom aleichem. I'm doing it. There's really no reason now even for the kohen to be marich anymore. Him. I'm the one you're talking to. Right? Come the Chachomim, and the Chachomim say, we still go by you. That's the Chiddush of Erechim. The Chiddush is that over here, since his nether didn't activate until the Kohen was Marechim, and you jumped in the middle, you tagged on to his nether, now your status is going to activate what the Erech is going to be. That's what the Chacham said. Rebbe, so here's the, that's the Chacham. Now we understand what the Chacham, and really that was the Chiddush of the Chacham. Of course, in a case where a guy says, Erki Alai, and Bezdin assesses him, and the Kohen says, this is what he has to give, and I come and I say, I'm going to give this. Of course you don't give. We don't go what your status is. That's a regular monetary obligation. Has nothing to do with our Masechta. That's part of Masechta's Nedorim. That's not even part of Masechta's Erech. If one guy goes up and he says, Erech Yolai, the Kohen comes and says, okay, 50 Slom, you get your statement. Right? The statement says, you owe 50 Slom. That guy comes, he says, I'm going to pay it. That's nothing to do with our Masechta. It doesn't even interest us. Has nothing to do with our Masechta. But here, this guy jumped in, and now the Kohen is coming to make an assessment. Who does he assess? Who does he assess as far as financial viability? Does he assess the one who made the nether? Or does he assess the one who has now accepted the nether upon himself? The Chachamim say, whenever we deal with Erechin, and the Kohen has not yet, it's premature, the Kohen has not yet clarified the Erech, we go by the one who is being makabel the money to pay that erichin. And since you were makabel to pay the money of erichin, we go by you. And if you're an oni, you pay an erich oni. And if you're an osher, you pay an erich osher. And that's why the Chachamim in the Mishnah said, we always, always, by erichin, we always go by the marich. It could even be that's why the Chachamim, the Gemara asks, why did the Chachamim use a lashon neder? The Gemara says, the Gemara's first question here in the Gemara is, why didn't we use a lashon of marich? So I want to tell you, the Gemara says, well, that's the lashon of the pasuk, right? But there's still a kasha. Chazal always, they're there to clarify for us. They're not there to use the lashon amikra where it's confusing us. But the way I'm learning, it's very geschmack, because the point is that even though you came in after the erech was already made, so you're really more like a noider. You're really more like a person who's a noider, but you're what we would call a noider marach. Because you're coming in after the nether was made, but before that nether was materialized. And therefore we take this noider and we give him a din of a marach. And that's why it says, v'ha erichin benoider, because the erichin goes by the noider even if he accepted that obligation after the erich was made already. And that's why the Mishnah hopped on the Lashon Noider, which is more generic, because it includes, according to the Tana Kama, it includes that. The example that I gave you, where Reuven was said, Erkei Alai, and then before the Kohen was Marech, Shimon came in and said, okay, I'm going to give it. So that's why the Chachamim used the Lashon of Noider, because even though it's a Marech who's like a Noider. The Chiddush in the Mishnah is that we still give you the Oimer Rebbe comes and Rebbe says, no, Oimer Ani, I disagree. I hold within the framework of Parshas Erechin, it doesn't work that way. Although I agree with the Chachamim that the obligation to pay the Erech is incomplete until the Kohen says the word, tells you what your obligation is, it doesn't make a difference. The fact is that since the nether was already made, and the Kohen is only there to activate what already happened, So the financial status is no longer taken into account. The Kohen only takes into account later what the facts of the ground, on the ground were at the time of the Erech. That's the Machlokes in Rebbe Nechacham. Rebbe comes and he says that I disagree with you, Chachamim, and I hold that even though it's true that the guy who made the neder originally, he's not yet, if it were, we would still take into account his financial viability now when the Kohen is Marachim, but it's only his financial viability that we'll take into account, not your financial viability. But we understand why it's Erechim, because it is still Erechim. Because until the point that the Kohen is Marach you, it's still up in the air. So it's still called Marach, because you're taking over something which is still in the Erechim process. It's not been yet completed. Yes. Why? 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 It's a disease. He's diseased. Why?
Because if the Kohen doesn't say it's a disease, then
why? I agree with you. Why? Beautiful. The Torah said by Erechin, V'herich oisei ha-Kohen. It's funny. It's funny, as a doctor, I'm shocked at what you're saying. Because I would say exactly the opposite of what you're saying. I would say, when we're dealing with a medical state, a physical state on the body, okay, he's got all the things. The blood test is positive. This guy, this is positive, okay? Now the Torah still said, in spite of the fact that he has all the medical, on his medical chart, he is positive. The Torah says, hold off. That medical chart is not going to be activated. He's negative until the Kohen says positive. Then we go, he's diseased. I think it's much more logical to accept that a monetary obligation could be postponed until the Kohen says so. Why in your medical head don't you hear that it's more logical to say that the Torah would say, you know what, the financial obligation kicks in after the Kohen says it. I think that's even more logical. Do you got what I'm saying, doctor?
I understand what you're saying, but I still don't agree.
With what?
Because when a guy makes an obligation on himself, he's speaking in his mind right now, but we're 20 shekels, and he says,
David, I'm throwing the word doctor out. David, Lamaisa, the bottom line is that if the Torah, who says that you have to give 50 slum? You're not saying 50 slum. You're saying I have to give erech, correct?
Right, but I mean what? In my mind, I'm saying
I don't care what you mean. You're being makabel erechin, correct? And if you made a mistake, let's say you thought your erech is 100 slum, and the fact is that the Torah says your erech is 50 slum. How much do you got to pay? 50. Why?
That's what the Torah says.
Beautiful. So now the Torah says that the amount of money that you have to pay is based on when the Kohen tells you it's 50. 50 based on your current status. Why do you have an issue with that? One second, is this resolved?
Not completely.
So let's resolve it, because this is a resolvable issue. This is a resolvable issue.
I understand what you're saying, but I still think if the guy, if it was really 50, the guy in his mind put 50, that's what he's going to pay. That's what should be at the time he said it.
Even if the Torah says otherwise, you mean?
No, the Torah says 50, and
so I don't get you. So the Torah says that when the Torah says how much you have to pay, we don't go by what it was when you made the nether, but we go by when the time when it says V'herech HaKohen. Are you arguing with Tosis? I just want to get straight what's happening here.
Yeah.
That's okay. So you hold not like Tosis.
Right.
That's okay. We'll still give you an aliyah here in Shul. That's not a problem. But I'm just saying, Tosis says that Erechin is like Nagoyim, which that's either correct or not. It's either you agree with it or not, but it's not a logical debate. We know for sure you need that step of the Kohen being Marach you. Tosis is just saying that step is not only is it a step that has to be seen, it's an activation step. You're saying maybe it's not an activation step. Okay, there are Rishonim who hold that way. No problem. Okay. Okay, I have no issue then.
When Shimon jumps in and says, I want to take on that power, what is he really thinking? Is he thinking to himself,
I don't care what he's thinking. This, we go back to the halacha. What is the halacha? If Shimon is makabel on himself the carbon of the mitzvah, we don't know what he's thinking. It doesn't make a difference. We go by what the Torah says. What is that obligation? What is it? You follow? That's the point. Okay, we'll stop here.